Recently, when the President of the United States was presenting a message to the Congress, the short announcement was, "The President of the United States." The shorter the man, bigger the man, the shorter the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, brethren, Brother Marshall Keeble, gospel preacher.
That's the kind of introduction to appreciate. A whole lot said of an introduction ruins the speaker. Takes his argument away from him. So I'm thankful for that introduction. You know, I believe this, that if you have a message to deliver to people, then you ought to get it so compact and together so you can handle it. I don't believe the President of the United States that we just spoken of. I don't believe he writes his message. He's got men that know more than he does. And they write him. I'll write them for him. Now that's wisdom. And when they write it, then they mark at certain places that in this speech where he's to wait or expect an applause. And brother, he waits for it. I want to thank, first of all, Brother Dixon for these years that he has been the head of this institution, for inviting me and asking me to speak on this occasion. And they always ask me for a subject so they can put it in writing on the advertisement. And I haven't given them one yet. And they keep on inviting me. I never give out any subject. I can't find where Jesus gave out one. The greatest preacher that ever lived never was introduced as we do one another, and he never had a speech to make that he had to limit him. Now they about made me forget what little I had to say. Tell me about how many minutes, now I'm scared to death of the minutes, you see. But at the same time, at Brother Henthorne in Kansas City, Missouri, when I first went there to establish the church, he said, "Keeble, I want to put you on the radio, but you have to have your time limited." He carried me up in the studio and introduced me to the man in the studio, and then they stepped over there and asked me, "Do you have a subject?" I said, "No, sir." And he looked kind of frightened. When they introduce a man and the speaker with no subject, then Brother Henthorne gets up and says, "Well, how are you going to speak? Are you going to speak promiscuously?" I said, "Yes, sir, whatever that is." That guy never heard that word before, promiscuously. So I appreciate being invited to be on this program. And I'm in a hurry now to get to the program that I'm invited to speak on in Abilene. And I said to Brother Cato in the car, I said, "If you want to call this brother that's arranging for this program and tell him when we'll arrive." So he said he would. But you know one thing, I'm proud that all the brethren appreciate me enough to have me to talk, because they're not afraid I'll say the wrong thing. People invite you to speak, they just they feel like it's safe in your hand. And it is, so far as it goes. But now at this time, I'd like to speak to you about, I'll speak at random as usual. Brother Pulis, in introducing me at David Lipscomb College, said, "I've learned in these 30 some odd years not try to give people a subject, because he won't work on it. He won't talk on it. So I just turn him loose. So I consider that I'm loose now. I'm loose, and I'm going to try my best to stay in the bounds of reason, and I'm going to try to, first of all, to know that I've got to give an account for the things that I'm going to say to you. And I want you to be patient with me, because I'm getting old and feeble, and I just closed a meeting and caught an airplane out of Miami with 27 responses. Just closed that with 20, and just closed one in Nashville, Tennessee with 99. Right in my home. And why I didn't get that other one, I don't know. Nevertheless, be proud to be here. So we flew in here. I haven't had the proper amount of sleep before. And I flew in here, and up come Cato, say, "You got to go to Freeheart, and you remember?" He always got me remembering something. Same time, I said, "Yes." And so here we are now. Old man like me, no time to sleep, all the way from Miami. And all I need now is your sympathy and prayer. What I need. Then we run in here just then, and one of our greatest old, and I admire as much as any man I've ever met, and Brother Gus Dunn, come over there to meet me, and that cheered me up some and got me ready for this speech or this talk I'm going to try to make. Is it Nick Gus?
Nichols.
Nichols, what did I call him? What did I call him? Well, I don't want to get him mixed up that way. But Brother Gus Nichols, that's right, brother. Now you know I'm getting old. You know, I want to tell you, I'm 88. Really ain't got no business out. 88 years old and still going and talking about flying. Oh, you are? There you are. You pray for me. I got a friend there called Scotch Info. Now, I thought I'd start out this way as a suggestion. What we need today in these missionary meetings like this is to talk with one another and ask each other what you think is the best thing to do to convert the Church of Christ. Amen, that's it. The Church of Christ, at her present speed, she needs converting. Well, you can't preach for congregation unless you say something. They say, don't say it that way, you run them off. Now, you say it another way, you run them off. Well, you about got one half to convert the church. Run them off. Why, that's all the way I've established all these churches for years, calling names. If you're talking about the Baptist, tell him, don't slip up on him. I never have thought we ought to apologize for nothing you preach, and be sure that you preach the truth. And I call names. That's the way I establish so many churches, calling names. And the very man that's sitting there, sometimes a preacher walks up and sings the invitation as it comes down the aisle. But he converted good. He's changed to start with. And so we just believe we need a converted church. Take our missionaries today. I want to compliment the churches for these fine young people that they're sending out as missionaries. Take the African missionary. I learned a lot of things over there about the missionaries. Your daughters are over there doing things that even the parents wouldn't do. And you ought to be proud of your children. Over there, young people doing missionary work, taught how to do it in these colleges of ours. Great colleges, great men at the head of them, and doing a great job. Those children go over there and pick up the little African baby in their arms and nurse it just like it was an angel. You have to have Christianity in your heart to do that. Everybody won't pick him up. Christy, amen. Thank you, Brother Dunn. I called him Dunn again, didn't I? Hey, excuse me, he knows I got the Gus part on that one. Brother Verlin does snicker now, say, and I appreciate him for years and years. He has encouraged me in my work. But he ain't quite old as I am. I'm trying to make him an old man, but it's a great man to encourage you when you're doing something worthwhile. You need men like that. I'm glad he's in this group of men. He's a fine example to mix among them. I'm glad, and I want to thank John Harris for reading such a splendid lesson there. It's a wonderful thing to have young men. And Brother Cachel comes bringing me in here, and he carries me to places and makes people think I'm somebody. He does all the introducing, and you ought to hear what he says sometimes. He makes me ashamed of myself. But he says it because he believes that. Brother A.M. Burton died the other day, a great friend of mine, not long ago. And you know what he did? He said, Keeble, you know one thing? He said, I admire you. You and I have been friends for 50 some odd years. And did you not know when you can hold a friend 50 years, you're really doing something? And then leaving me, making me leave a fortune here to be used for missionary work. That's what he done. He calls it A.M. Burton and Marshall Keeble Fund. And he and I signed it so it would stand up. It'll stand up with Burton and Keeble on it. That's right. Amen. You know, amen. I wish we had a lot of rich brethren, but I wish they wouldn't leave a fund like that for to help the church. He set a wonderful example. Thousands and thousands of dollars set aside for the advancement of the Church of Christ, and nobody signed it but him and Marshall Keeble. I signed it because I was in there where it was being signed. I don't know whether I'm worthy to sign it or not, but it's in there. And he told Brother Pulliot, I'm leaving it in your hand so you can see that it's carried out like I want it carried out. Well, that's right. None of y'all didn't know that. There won't be any National Christian Institute after this time. If a fund like that, he said, I don't want no segregation in it. It's a fund for every boy, white and colored, Negro and white man. I don't want no clause in there. Don't put no clause. Everybody. And that fund can be drawn on by everybody that shows they're worthy and help him through school. That's what it was left for. And I'm up here to tell you, no better place to tell this and a great brother like you to go back home and get the members of the congregation that are rich, got plenty of money to add to that fund. He left it for you to add to. He's expecting you to do it. And I believe his brother told me at Miami, some of our white brothers said, Keeble, we're going to add on that. Just left that. I read it to the whole congregation one night. I read it. What are you reading for, Keeble? To show that God has no respecter of person. He's showing you in that letter, or in that mission fund, how he wants it used. To help every boy that wants to preach the gospel with the right character and the right reputation. And if he does, then he can draw on that. What better could he do? Oh, boy, some of our best preachers don't need a thing but help in cause. Got some boys in college, a wonderful preachers, white and colored. All they need is some backing. And they can draw on this fund as long as it lasts. Now, missionary children, you take our girls and boys in the foreign land. Over in Africa, when I went over there, what did I find? The missionaries over there that you have raised, right in your families, and sent them to these colleges. And the brethren in the colleges have taught them how to do mission work. And they're just there, just bathing their little African babies. Dressing it up and showing the mother how to care for it. After a while, you know we've got over 200 native gospel preachers in Africa, all Africans. 200, and they get on their bikes and go just down the road 200 miles on a bike to preach a little sermon. Who done that? The disciples of Christ all over the country. Sending these boys down there, over there. And every state in every country of the world, the Church of Christ is working as never before. As never before. And I think all of us ought to take our hats off to the great work they're doing and encourage them in it. Our children, I see these girls over there nursing these little African babies, and I wonder what would their parents think of them if they would see them, how they're performing their duty. How they're doing that. And then at 2 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they get a missionary, a little old boy, barefooted, and in his shirt tail, no breeches on, doing missionary work. They got on nothing. That kind of a Christian is hard to find today. When I say nothing, I mean just another one or two pieces. One or two pieces of all he's got on, and he's got his little Bible, taking the missionary around over the country. She goes out about 5 o'clock in the morning and stay a half a day before they come home to dinner. That's in Africa. I saw this. And I need to tell, I expect I could tell it better than the missionary himself, because I ain't been long got a loose move by myself. I was sold and brought over here. Now listen again, gentlemen. Did you know God's waking in the Church of Christ today? He's waking our brother up. Just a few months ago, I was called to Pepperdine College in the, what you call a workshop. Well, that's where I'm at now. Y'all didn't call it this, but I'm working on you. This ain't nothing but a workshop. That's what this is. Did you know that? And a workshop I love. And I got up there one morning. Dr. Young said, Keeble, can you preach 2 or 3 times on Lord's Day morning? I believe it was. I said, yes, I can preach 3 or 4 times on Sunday. And you know what he did? He had me introduced to the audiences 3 times, and 200 responded to the invitation. Amen. Amen. I told you 200. Amen. 200. I saw him coming down the aisle, and one old brother, he was the elder of the church, coming, grabbed me around the neck and hugging and crying. Me and him both hugging and crying. Now, right there before that, and we wasn't ashamed of nobody. Christ in us, Spirit in us, the love of God shed abroad in us. That's all we need, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And you'll hug anybody. You'll hug anybody. You don't care who they are. Just so they got a soul. Well, God wants us saved. God wants the world saved. He said to the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go tell them that. Go tell them that. You remember, my friends, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, one time when he was on earth, Mary and Martha and Lazarus was his great friends. He seemed to hang around them. He hung around them quite a bit. And one time he's gone off a long time. He returned back. Come in there, and one of the sisters met him and told him that our brother Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Jesus Christ told him, said, I'm the resurrection and I am the life. Show me where you laid him. He ain't dead. Show me where you laid him. Carried him over there to the grave where the Lazarus was buried. Got over there and they showed him where it was. And he said, well, one of the sisters was trying to keep him from raising because he'd been dead 4 days and now he's stinking. Now that word stinks, not the word to use in intelligent age like this, but it's all right. It was back there. Jesus said stink. Jesus said stink, and I'm going to say stink. Y'all don't agree with me, but you can't do nothing about it. You know what we would have wanted? We don't say, we would have said to him, don't say stink, say he's mortified. Well, that stink right on. Did you know we're going to have to learn not try to be so proper and say the words that are suitable, but tell the truth about it. Show me where you laid him. I'm not concerned about him stinking. I don't mind him stinking. Show me where you laid him. Jesus walks up to the grave where they laid him and called him by his name. Called him by his name. Well, why did he call him by his name? He didn't ever want everybody in the cemetery to get up. He could have raised them all just as well as he did last. And another point I score on right there. Somebody said, Brother Keeble, I don't believe in calling names. Why, Jesus called names. He called him Lazarus. Is that right? Because he don't want nobody else to get up. He could have raised them all just, and then he told those sisters, I'm the resurrection, I am the life. Now don't come telling me how long he's been dead. Call him out of his grave, up top left. Nobody has bothered. My Savior done that when he walked among men. Call him out of the grave, been dead 4 days. Yes, and that's what we want today, call people by their name. If a Baptist is in the audience, if he loves his name like he's wearing, he oughtn't mind you calling his name. No, he works any time. But if a preacher calls names today, if you don't mind, he's disposed of. Said he run the audience off. He run everybody off. They just pay him and get rid of him. That's the man you need. You better tell people who he's talking about. Jesus done it. And I remember Peter and John going up to the temple to have prayer. And a lame man was laying there asking alms. Peter and John admitted something that we preachers won't admit. Me and John are broke. What you want, John and I don't have. And I never met a preacher in my life that wasn't broke. And the brothers are going to see that he stays broke. Now then, friends, the day is rapidly coming. And Brother Gus knows I'm telling the truth. We're going to have to tell it like it's written. We're going to have to tell like God wants us so people will know who you're talking about. And another thing, you're going to have to stop the preacher. If you're going to stop any preacher from preaching, stop that cigarette smoker from preaching. Got no business standing up before audience if he's a cigarette smoker. Yes, that's right, gentlemen. Too many of the members of the church smoking cigarettes, wasting God's money. That's what they're doing. Amen. That's all. Well, that's right, keep him cowardly. That's the way to keep him humble. Encourage him if he's calling names. Tell the people who you're talking about. That's one thing I like about our president, and nobody don't like him much either. He tells you right plain what he's talking about. He does. He's just about as plain a president as we've had. And you want to wake people up and cause people to learn the truth, tell it so they can understand. Don't mix it up. Don't be afraid to preach it in season and out of season. What does he mean about in season? When they like it, out of season, when they don't like it. Don't you know it's out of season right now? Y'all ain't liking too much what I'm saying. You're just out of good manners respecting me, and I appreciate that. But I do say we ought to teach you to preach plain and simple gospel of Christ. So when they come forward, tell him he ain't got no religion. Tell him he's got no business wearing that name. Tell him he's got no business moaning all night around at the altar trying to come through. You'll find people coming to Christ. Brother Young wrote me a letter after I got home from Pepperdine College. Said, Keeble, since you left here, everybody's still discussing that sermon you preached there. Everybody is a student. And when the students of the Lipscomb got back to David Lipscomb College, they said they couldn't control them in the classroom, talking about what happened that Sunday morning when 200 left. They were so happy. And students were so glad they heard Brother Keeble calling names, and so many of them come forward to obey the gospel until they couldn't talk about nothing but that meeting. That's the way to do it. I want to send y'all home this morning so you won't talk about nobody but me. Didn't Keeble, I know what you're going to do. I know just exactly. But I want to preach it so that God will be pleased with what I'm talking about this morning. If I didn't think I was pleasing God, I wouldn't say a word like I already said. I believe God endorses it every step of the way. Trying to teach young preachers to be bold and courageous. And above everything, live it. Don't walk around the streets and take the church's money and smoke cigarettes and chew tobacco. And you mothers that's raising children, stop sitting around there with a box of snuff, dipping it while you run your some mother sitting in here now with a box of snuff in your place. You don't need no snuff dippers. Toys and stuff like that, you don't need that. And what are the, you know that you can dismiss the audience and step outdoors after the brother just took the Lord's Supper, and cigarette butts all around in front of the door as they went out. What's the matter? They were thinking about that while they're taking the supper. His mind wasn't on the Lord's Supper. There's cigarette in his pocket. Lighten. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. But anyway, we're going to have to preach the gospel. We're going to have to let the people know that God don't want you throwing cigarettes and smoking his money out and blowing it in the air and men starving for the gospel. Our missionaries wouldn't have to suffer if all the money that's given for tobacco and snuff and cigarettes was put in the treasury to help missionaries. They wouldn't have to suffer like they suffer. Take God's money and blowing it out in the air. If I don't do nothing but break one man from smoking cigarettes today, I've been a blessing. You know somebody in here is going to throw them cigarettes away. It's a disgrace. Standing out there blowing God's money out in the air. And the women dipping stuff spitting on the ground. You're going to learn that. You're going to learn it. And you know somebody's word today. What are we going to do with the juveniles? What, oh, that's a great question now. Well, that ain't no question. I'm asking the question, what are you going to do with the parents that raised them? Right. There you are. You give a boy a key and tell him to come in when he gets ready. You turn him loose on the world. He got no business with the key. Knock on the door and you let him in. Then you'll know when he got in. Yeah. Days rapidly coming, brother. You're going to have to control your families. You're going to have to control your children the best you can. And then what would you do? God will bless you for raising them up. Touch not, taste not, and handle not the unclean things. You're going to have to do it. Got some women saying amen. That's unusual, but stay right on, sister, so long. Just stay in line. You're all right. You amen. Don't let me shame you now. Just amen. And when a thing is right, it's right. And Brother Keeble has to have courage, or any other preacher to preach the gospel today. You're going to have courage and boldness and determination to preach in season and out of season. Thank you, brother. And I want you to see this, brother. You're going to have to preach it. Stop smoking and blowing it out in the air. Stop dipping snuff, standing around. And another thing, you go to go home this morning. If you're not here at home, wherever you go, you go home, and all the beer, all in the fridge there, cooling off, throw it all out in the yard. A little Christian with beer and stuff stored away in his fridge there, he's not a Christian. That child's got to look at, no wonder there's so many drunkards today. He looked at it all his days. Stored away in the fridge there. Look how quiet everybody is. How quiet. I don't blame you all for being quiet. You take that stuff out of your fridge in there. One white sister said to me at San Bernardino, California. She said, Brother Keeble, the reason I came forward, you converted me about those cigarettes. I got a pack in my pocket now. I'm throwing them away. Never buy another one. Well, if I didn't do nothing but save her, I done a thing was worthy. A worthy thing. Save our children. Save our families. Save from all of the filth. Stored away in the fridge there, getting ready, sitting there, can't hardly take the Lord's Supper, but think about a cool drink, cooling off. Brother, the day is rapidly coming, and you go home, when you go home, think about what Brother Keeble said to you. And you know, one white lady came forward in our meeting in Nashville that other day, young lady, about 18. I've got 3 minutes, well, I can do this in 3 minutes. I can do this. This is what I'm fixing to do. In 3 minutes, I can tell you that you're going to have to live right in front of your children. You're going to, if you don't want them to smoke, don't you smoke. And you don't want them to drink beer, take it out of the fridge there. Take it out of the fridge. Spend your money for. And this white lady said, Brother Keeble, I wasn't baptized until I went home and threw every cigarette away and all the beer out of the fridge there. Then I came back and obeyed the gospel. What is the matter with her? Laying aside everything that stirred, disturbed. Want to walk right the balance of her days. Mind made up. I hope I've got somebody's mind made up. I hope I've got somebody willing to do away with all this trash in the home and let your children have the privilege of living in a home where cigarettes are not smoked and where they don't drink beer and whiskey and play. One said, Brother Keeble, I had to go home and throw away 5 decks of cards. I'll invite my neighbors over and we have card games and then we drink a little beer, cool beer, out of the refrigerator. Well, how are you going to convert a neighbor drinking with you? And in my conclusion, I offer you this argument. I trust I've said something to shake you and make you conscious of the fact that you're not pleasing God. I want to thank the brethren for giving me this permission. And if my friends can remember this, I'll always rejoice over the fact that I was invited to the Peabody, Georgia, or Harding College. Free Harding College. I get these colleges all mixed up. I'm on my way to Abilene now to talk just along the same line. I'm speaking this, and the brother said, Keeble, you're pulling the right string. Thank God. Now, I know I've gone over 3 minutes, but I'm going to do what the scriptures tell me. Ask forgiveness.
Brother Gus Nichols, will you please come to the stand?